Oh no, Trev only normally has one small bit of paper. It's okay, Mike's assured me that he's got an 8-hour taping. You've only had half an hour, so you're okay. So, excellent. What have I got up here? I've noticed I've got a danger zone, actually. I like talking. When I talk, I walk, and my hands go flying, so I think I'm in the danger zone this morning. What's the time of year? Excellent. So what am I going to talk about? Something totally different. Well, no, not entirely. What is Christmas to you? Come on, what's Christmas to you? What does it mean? It's the birth of Jesus. Anything else? Yes, of course, we're Christians. And as a Christian church, we're celebrating Christ. But what else do you see as Christmas as? What else have you done over the last few days? Family? Mike's eaten. I can assure you I've seen it. Eaten too much? Yes, I've seen that occur as well, as he touches his own stomach. Yeah, it's interesting. What does it mean to you? Christmas? Actually, I'd just like to point out here, Christmas isn't over till you say the 12th day of Christmas, was it you mentioned? 12th night. Actually, I'm just going to extend that a little further. This is a shameless plug for any of you that knows about what happens after the 12th night for Christmas. You end up with a Christmas tree. And it's what to do with your Christmas tree. There is an opportunity. I will help dispose of your Christmas tree on the 10th of January, which is the Sunday. It's the first Sunday after the 12th of Christmas, which means in my back garden, there will be a bonfire from nightfall onwards, which is about 4 o'clock, at which you have a perfect opportunity to watch your Christmas tree burn and everybody else's. It's completely shameless plug. Please come and join me in my back garden. There will be plenty of food, drinks, fireworks, and people for you to talk to other than me. Good. Got that in. Right. So that's the Christmas bit dealt with. Now, lots of us have eaten too much. And it's just as well that the next big event after Christmas is New Year's. It's New Year's. Because what we then come up with is a New Year resolution and we go to the gym. Or that's one of the things we resolve. I'm not going to eat so much next Christmas. I'm not going to eat so much this year. Okay, I'm not much of a preacher. I've got two stories for you. The first one isn't true and is about to follow, and the second one is true and hopefully should give you some encouragement, preferably both of them. So my first story is this. January the 2nd, now I met somebody that's quite sporting recently, and she turned around and said, I'm not going to the gym on January the 1st for the first couple of weeks because you've got all these people that have got New Year resolutions to go to the gym, and they're there for 2 weeks only. So she's decided to go running instead, and my job is to encourage her as her husband. So, you're beautiful, babe. So moving on. So Christmas then, we go to the gym and we get given a gym instructor. We haven't been there before, we don't know quite what's going on. And this gym instructor is its part-time job. His other job is actually testing sofas for couch potatoes. Okay, bit extreme, I know, a little bit un-PC, some might say. He's weighing well over 20 stone and doesn't walk too good. He's not the sort of man that you would expect to be your gym instructor. So you kind of think, well, oh, hang on a minute, I was expecting somebody, you know, tall, slimmish in the waist, maybe a six-pack, not much of a sweat, but a bit of a glow on. Not somebody that's 20 stone and has trouble walking and prefers sitting down anyway. So you kind of think, okay, I've paid my money, I've turned up at the gym, I'm going to see what I can do. Yeah, let's take it on face value, I'm only going to be here 2 weeks anyway. And then you realise that this guy used to weigh 35 stone. And then you go, ooh, hang on a minute. I misjudged him a little bit. Now, what's the relevance of this story? What I'm telling you is that I'm a 35 stone sinner that now weighs 20 stone. I used to be a lot worse. I'm still not perfect. When running to the gym, walking to the gym, I'm not going to boast, when walking to the gym, I sometimes go past a cake shop, and the cakes win. So, we are all that miserable sinner. I don't want to be despondent, okay? But it does also mean, I'll come back to it. Now, so I'm reading all my notes, which is very rare for me. I'm reading all my notes. You may know something about me. There's some things I love talking about. I love talking. God has given me the gift of talking. A few smiles, a few nods. So I get on with it, Trev. There's a couple of things I love talking about, and you can probably name them. Aircraft, rowing, aircraft, rowing. So there's a few I love talking about, but there's one I like talking about more than anything else. Okay, you're already in the club. And I love talking about Christ. I love talking about the world he's created. I love talking about what he's done and who he is. So this brings me to my second story. You see, this year we had a guy, I can't remember his name, I'm terrible with names. And what he was talking about was inviting people to church. Yeah? It's difficult, isn't it? Some of us don't even like talking to other people about this man called Jesus. What you might ridicule me. Well, they ridicule Christ. That kind of puts you in the right boat, really, doesn't it? So this second story was a true story that happened to me 2 weeks ago. It happened to me on a flight back from Ireland. It's a beautiful place, by the way, Ray. I'm thoroughly impressed of it. Rains even more than here. You see, what happened on that flight? Well, actually, it started before then. I met this guy. I'm on page 2 already. Look at that. I'll call you by his real name. His name was Simon. You're never going to meet him. Okay? And the thing was, is there was a couple of kids running around, and kids run around. That's not a problem. But these kids were going to be a problem. I'll give you an example. I later saw them on the baggage carousel at Stansted Airport to give you some idea of the quality of these particular children. I don't have a problem with children. I have 3 of my own. Hello, boys. They live up there normally. So what happened then? This guy sat next door to me and he made a comment on the children, of which I happened to nod and agree with him. And we got talking. So this is actually waiting for the Ryanair flight, which was late. And we managed to chat away. Now, something I've learned in life from the people I hang out with is that you should talk more about the other person than yourself. I find this very difficult. At least I know I'm bad. The thing is, I decided to try this. Consequently, I asked about him and his job. If you want to find out what he did for a job, come and see me later. Let's just say I've never come across anybody who ever has done his job, nor are you likely ever to either. So much so that he's been mentioned in a paper. The BBC want to do a pit on him, and he's going to be also going to be mentioned in The Sun. Give you some idea of the quality of his job. Yes. Anyway, moving on. So I got chatting to his job. He's completely open about what he does. So I got chatting to him, and we found we had something in common. Now, as you know me, you know that I want to kind of turn the conversation around perhaps to something else. Maybe, I don't know. Airplanes, rowing. So consequently, I thought I'd turn it round to my favourite subject. And he had a common subject, and he, at one point, was training to be an aircraft engineer, so we got chatting to him about that. So I turned it round onto another interesting topic that I like, which I've become recently new about, and kind of got excited. It's new and fresh. And doesn't it say in the Bible you should have a childlike faith? And children, when they find something new, get really excited about it and want to tell you. And, you know, they, like Christmas, get something new and exciting. And the thing I get new and exciting about is creationism. I've come across, all of a sudden, this whole new selection of science and evidence and rereading the old evidence in a new way. And it's sort of like, wow, I've never come across this before. And was really excited. I've since spoken to loads of people on it, and they've already come across it. Some have, some haven't. Some dismiss it, some don't. So I used a particular example. We were talking about different strange things in science as we both had this interest in stuff that worked. I said, you know, have you ever come across the fact that dinosaurs, we're told, are millions of years old, and yet blood, flesh, tendons, blood vessels, markers of DNA, amino acids have been found inside dinosaur bones. Not one, but loads of them. Since the first one was discovered, people went looking for it. Jurassic Park could actually be true. Now, let's push it a bit too far, but what they're saying is that these things have been found. I don't know about you, but flesh tends to only live, once you put it in the ground, tends to survive for a few weeks, months, maybe a couple of years. There's a few examples that have lived for a couple of thousand years, but none that have lived for 35 million years. So one of two things are true. Either that dinosaurs are not that old, or there's a method of preserving flesh thousands of times longer than we know of existence now. Now, hopefully somebody like, I don't know, a big retailer can find this miracle that means stuff survived this long, and we can have sandwiches on our shelves for months on end, years on end, thousands of years on end. Some stores may have that, Ray. So I got chatting to him about this, and he seemed quite interesting. So we carried on talking, so interested, in fact, that it was now starting to become sort of more on a spiritual level. We started talking about more spiritual things. It was a lead into that spiritual conversation. So I took him onto the plane, because that's where we were going, and it wasn't particularly full, and I gave him the secret about Ryanair, and I said, you know, you wait till the doors are closed, and you can jump to the seats at the back, which are empty, and there you can get more legroom. I said, you can come and join me if you wanted. And he did. He sat next to me and wanted to hear more. And anyway, as the flight went on, it got more and more about, you know, Adam and Eve, where sin came from. And I look at that sometimes and I think, Adam, why didn't he just resist the apple? Wouldn't that have been easy? I would have resisted the apple. And then I realise I can't even resist the cake running to the gym. So you kind of think, I would have been even worse than Adam. And I relayed the full story. And I said, because Adam had the first sin, now the world was a fallen place. And we went into Noah's Ark and the animals and the flight continued. We took off, didn't even notice. And this guy was sort of like, oh yeah, okay, I haven't heard of this before. I said, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came because man messed up. I messed up. We've messed up. There's nobody here that's perfect. For instance, if I was to ask you, what sin would you want to take into heaven? Go on, think about it. What's your favourite sin? Now, I'm not asking you to show a sign of hands, by the way. It's a rhetorical question. It's a stupid question. Because if one sin goes into heaven, it ceases to be heaven. If we carry one sin, we don't go to heaven. Now, that's why Jesus came. Now, wonderful, now great. Jesus came, but to somebody that hasn't heard of Jesus, why is this wonderful news? And I went on and explained who Jesus was. And thankfully, on my little wonderful electronic device that is absolutely everything in all situations, it's also a Bible. So I got the Bible out and I was showing him, you know, this is when the world was created. And do you know, evolutionism is not in the Bible at all. It's something man's put in. And we get taught it. And it's kind of weird. That's not in there. That's something we've added from elsewhere. And then we're talking about this and that. And it's sort of like, I was getting really excited. Here's somebody that wants to hear about Jesus. You should see how excited I get if you ask me how rowing goes. Don't, because you won't get away. But here he was really excited. I started explaining who Jesus was. And the character. That he came, not on a donkey, but he came many years ago, about 2000, and his life was so that he was to die on the cross. And I wanted to explain just how, sometimes, just how awesome Christ was. Because people don't like Christ. Because if Jesus is true, then I'm a sinner. If he's good and perfect, I'm bad, I'm terrible. But he's not that, because he's this. Yeah? Yeah, I'm God, but here, come with me. I'll show you the way to the gym where we can train together and we can get rid of that sin. Mike, can you put the verse up for me, please? Now, I said to him, this is how good the quality of Christ, this is what it's like. Now, you all know this anyway, or hopefully you all know, but you will soon. Here, look at this. At dawn, he appeared again at the temple courts where all the people gathered around him and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made him stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commands us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" This is the example I actually use, because I think this is just shows up just how awesome Christ is. Let me go on. They were using this question as a trap. They didn't like him because Christ showed just how bad they were at what they were doing. He would remove their power base. Their power base was based on greed, pride, showmanship. Whereas Christ's power base is based on servitude, about being a servant, about being humble. In order to have a basis for accusing him, but Jesus bent down and started to write in the ground with his finger. Brilliant. What was he writing? Nobody had that. I think he was writing things like E equals MC squared. They haven't got a clue what that means. Because Christ knows everything. And what's more, he created everything, including humour. Yes, Christ is funny. All the stuff that you know is good, that comes from God. Wow. It's time we claim some of that back. Singing, dancing, being around friends. Yeah, parties, claiming back for Christ. That's good stuff. Yeah, this is good stuff. So he was writing this stuff in the ground. Nobody knows what. Nobody knows what. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And then he stooped in the ground. Hold it there, Mike. And then he stooped back down again. Now, he's clever because Christ knew the law, kept the law, understood the law, the spirit of the law, and the words of the law. And at the same time, he wasn't going to break the law, and they knew this. They wanted to be, you know, he's claiming peace and be nice to everybody. But when in actual fact, here's a guy, we're going to trap him. But he was clever. But not only clever, he was clever with something called grace. He was clever. Follow it on. At this, those who'd heard him began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now, leave your life of sin." Awesome. What a man. He's turned around and he said he had full authority to turn around and say, bang, stoner. He could have thrown the first stone. But instead, he turned it round. He didn't condemn anybody. He let them condemn themselves. Awesome. What a man. I'm just like, wow. I'd love that kind of, be able to argue or debate and have an answer like that in the middle of a debate. Boom. Yeah? Awesome. What a guy. So I was chatting to him about this. I was like a little kid. Yeah, I was like, you should see this Christ. He's awesome. This is an example. And we went on. He also wanted to know, he said, but he didn't really die, did he? I said, didn't he? Why not? He said, well, you know, the way he was found, he actually went back in the tomb and he lay there and he came back to life again. Now, I've read up on this and I was thinking, yeah, okay. So I started taking him through all four Gospels and explained about the Gospels, the writers. These are four separate accounts and how witnesses that come up with different stories about the same event are more likely to be true than witnesses that say the same thing. And I read that a book, I can't remember the name of the guy, but he used to be a forensic detective. And he studied the Gospels and went, yes, and this is a statement from the police investigations. If you have different witnesses saying different things, but all come about from the same kind of idea, that's more likely to be true. And I was explaining it and reading the example of Mary going up into the... and he'd never heard this before. And we sat there and we read it together. See, sometimes we forget just how awesome and how powerful Jesus is. He's created everything. He owns everything. And when we die, then when we're with him, we go to heaven. Fantastic. Sure, the path is narrow. It's tough. But then so's going to the gym. So is keeping your body in good shape. When I go away, what do? I exercise my mind, my body, and my spirit. You've got to when you live on your own in a foreign country. And sometimes it's tough, and I've got halfway to the gym, and I've turned around and gone home again. I said, no, Trev, you've really got to do better than this. So I turned around, got to the gym door, then went home. It was a tough night. But it's sometimes... Okay, it's tough going inviting people. But surely, if you're excited about something, if you're excited about rowing or, I don't know, the idea of going down mountains on slippery things or, I don't know, jumping out of aeroplanes or excited about whatever, okay, you want to tell people about it. You want to find out something about them, and you want, actually, what I want to tell you about is what I've got for Christmas. Or, it's look at this, this has really saved me in the kitchen. Or, have you heard about Jesus? He's so, oh, mate, you should hear about this bloke, he's awesome. It should be something that's on our lips. It should be something you can't keep down. And if it isn't, find out about him because he's so absolutely awesome. It's amazing what he's done in the past and what he's going to do with you in the future. And it's different from any other religion. You see, all other religions are like a group of people standing on a lock, on a canal. And someone's opened the paddles up and you know how much that water swirls and the undercurrents. And we love it. I love the canals. But someone's fallen in there. All other religions tell you how to jump out, how to get out of that water. The difference with Christianity is Christ jumps in and says, stand on me. That's the difference. It's not a religion. True Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. And it's an acknowledging God as a real person, as a real being, and acknowledging getting that close relationship. And then when you get to know him, you get to be excited about him, which is just absolutely awesome. I've got here just one of my note points. You can listen to the teachings of men or of God. And teachers of man tells you, you don't talk about religion or politics in a pub. It's like, no. You talk about everything that's around you. Be excited about that God. I've got another verse here, actually. Can you put that one up for us, please, Mike? This one here. Sometimes fear holds us back. It holds us back from inviting people in. It does me. But also, it holds us back from talking about Christ to people that might not want to hear. And when you ever get people want to find out what this guy's job on, you kind of think he's not the sort of bloke that wants to hear about Christ. But he did. Now, okay, I've spoken to many people on planes. Okay, might be the one on the bus, as the song was saying. But get to talk to people about this. Do not be afraid of those that can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one that can both destroy both the soul and the body in hell. The thing is that the fear of God is a great thing to have because it puts him in his right place. Yeah? You don't go into the boxing ring with a huge great guy and not be scared of him. You wouldn't do that. For instance, if there was a big incident going on and hundreds of people jump on this bloke and you're small and don't want to get involved, you walk away and run away, don't you? That's the wise thing to do. Talk to Ray later. But that's what you would do, wouldn't you? Big event, oh, that's out of my league, that's not my skill. But it's the same with God. God is big, powerful and awesome. Okay? The thing is here, don't be afraid of everybody else. They can't take your soul. Be better off, be more excited about what God can do. Remember, none of us are perfect. None of us have true theology. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But because of Christ, he's lifted us back up to that high status. He's lifted us back up and made us sinless again. He doesn't look on what we've done in the past. And when we ask for forgiveness, all the sins that we've got, all those cakes, if you like, come off. And he takes us back in again and then trains us how to stay cake free. Now, there's nothing wrong with cake, by the way. What I'm using is cake as sin. Just like to point that out. What I'm going to do is close in prayer. Please join with me. Doesn't matter if you've said this prayer 100 times before. I'm going to say it again because Christ and heaven loves hearing it. So let's pray. Jesus, you're awesome. You're totally awesome. But I've not listened to what you've been asking me to do. I've sinned. I've keep going the other way. I've heard what you said and I've gone the other way, Lord. Jesus, I am sorry. I'm sorry. Help me focus on you, Lord, so what I norm, those sins don't no longer have the attraction. Take the attraction away of sinning. But instead, keep my eyes fixed on you, Lord. Help me turn back to you and make my walk a walk with you. When I see you working, when I see what you're doing in heaven, I will do the same things on earth, just as you did, Lord. Help me make my life be a mirror image of what you are, Lord, now and for the rest of our lives, and again with you in heaven. Amen.